Good morning. My name is Arthur Rodriguez. I hope most of you know me. We are streaming from our church building, Ecclesia of Crane. I find it as a privilege to be able to do this, to bring the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to bring what I believe God has put on my heart. This week is definitely something that I feel is a mandate that God has put there, and I feel the heaviness of what God is wanting to release to His people, and so. I just feel an urgency to it during this time of being in our houses. We can either look at this time as isolation or consecration, being set apart for God. But I really want to start off with prayer. And asking the Lord to just meet with us wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. Let's just agree in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you right now, be with them, be with us right here, and we ask you, Father, for your presence. There is no distance in prayer. There's no distance in your Holy Spirit, and so Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to do what you do. And that is to minister to people's hearts. That's to speak and to show your truth, God, to minister Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we need Jesus. And we are weak in flesh, but, Father, in spirit, Father, we know who you are. And so, Father, we need you. We need the Holy Spirit to interpret the word for us, God. And so, Father, we're looking to you for your truth, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your comfort, and all the things that your word tells us we can have. And so we are saved people. And as your salvation, you have many benefits with that salvation. And so, Father, we come to claim all of them. And so, Father, we pray right now that your word is revealed unto us. Open our hearts, open our minds. Open, Father, the word to us, and Father, I pray revelation comes today, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off with one that you're really familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. His desire has been to bring salvation to us. He loves us. And what bitter love has a man to give his only begotten Son to save us. And so, that's what God did. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes should have salvation. And in that salvation, he wants us to have that. I'm going to continue on the series that we started, and that is spiritual warfare. And today I wanted to look at holiness. And God has been so faithful in this series to reveal some things. And in this holiness, it just falls in line exactly what God is doing in the earth right now. And I'm gonna unveil some things, reveal some things. In 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, it says, "But as he which hath called you as holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy." And he's saying, you be holy as I am holy. He desires that we be imitators of him, that we to be exactly as our Father is. We are to be holy as he is holy. And he said, well, that's a tall order. How can we be? He says, will we be like God? We're not to be like God like Satan wanted to be like God. We're to be holy because we want to be like our dad. We want to be like our Father. And he says, be holy as I am holy. For I'm that. I am a holy God. And so we desire to be like him. In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Isn't that what we want to do? Draw nigh to God. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's telling us, draw close to him. You make an initial effort toward God, and he will draw close to you. The issue about the Word of God, the issue about God is if you draw close to him, that's an act of faith. And he is pleased by anyone that shows faith toward him. He truly loves those who seek him, those who require of him, those who want him. And so if you draw close to him, he's going to draw close to you. He says, seek and you will find. What is the state of the church today? Well, in this time, it's a challenging time, it's a difficult time, or it can be one of the most rewarding times. I believe that God would like to hit a reset button for our church. I want to read you a scripture in Isaiah 26, verse 20 through 21. It says, come, my people. Now, already a distinction. Who's to come? It's my people. God is telling his people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Is that not what we're doing? I mean, God has orchestrated something. I am not saying that God made this virus. I'm saying that God is taking advantage of this so that his people will come to his banqueting table. I said last week, God is herding his sheep. I believe this is a way that he is doing it. He's saying, people, go into your chambers and get behind those closed doors and don't waste this time doing other things and entertaining yourselves in other ways, but go to your closet and seek the Lord. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is overpassed. It says, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover their slain. Now, those who don't pay attention to what's going on, God will use. But understand what he wants for his people. That's my concern. That's what I want to do. He gives instructions for his people. What should we be doing? Do what God tells us to do. Go into your closet. Shut the door. Get into the quiet place. Go into your secret place. And take your heart and go towards God. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh unto you. God will use it. God will flood you. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. Do you love God? Let me tell you what. The things that I love, I do. The things that I love, I want around me. So if you love God, you're going to run toward him. The things that you want to do, you do. The things that it's amazing to me. Where do you go to vacation? You go to vacation to places that you don't like to go? No, you go to vacations where you want to go. Do you eat things that you don't want to eat? No, you eat the things that you love to eat. I like Mexican food. I eat Mexican food. I go to Mexican restaurants where they serve that kind of stuff. Well, if you love the Lord, he's about to give you, if you go into your closet, he's about to give you a whole feast of things where there's wisdom, where there's life, where there's stuff that you've never heard before, because he is able to give you the wisdom that's from above and not from below. He's about to strengthen you and give you what you need for everything in life. I'm going to start reading again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. It's his purpose. It's for what he wants to do in the earth. I think sometimes we misquote that scripture. It's because all things work together for good for them that love God. And they stop right there and they said, well, of course I love God, so everything's going to work to my good. But we have to understand it's for his purpose. It's for his kingdom. It's for what he wants. It's not just for what I want. It's for what he wants. 2 Chronicles 16:9. God has been pouring in me this week and these things. But this is a scripture that I got this morning. And it's a great scripture. I just gave it to Jimmy this morning. I told him, I said, kind of springing this on you by surprise. I said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. But also in the Amplified, I love it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. He's going, if you come into the closet, if you're saying, but I'm not blameless. He's going, repent. Make yourself blameless. That's what you got to do. Whose heart is perfect before him? No heart is perfect, but all he asks you to do is come, be vulnerable to the Lord, repent, show yourself to him, and just say, this is it, God. This is who I am. I am open, I'm honest in telling you, this is me. I'm telling you, he takes your sin and throws it as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? The east and the west never meet. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. At that very moment, you have just become blameless. Remember how much he loves you? He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Let me tell you, that's how much he loves you. God desires a spotless, blameless bride. He is going to come back for this beautiful, wonderful bride. And it's called the church. And let me tell you, I've done many weddings in the course of being a minister of the gospel. And I've never been to a wedding that the bride didn't want to be the most beautiful woman in the room. And everybody wants her to be the most beautiful woman in the room. People will shower on her. They make special rooms just for the bride. And the special makeup, go to the spa, a beautiful gown. They say yes to the dress type thing. They go out of their way to make her just beautiful. Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you someone else who's trying to make their bride beautiful. Jesus is trying to make his bride beautiful. And he's making the church beautiful. Let me share a scripture with you. Ephesians 5, verse 27. And husbands, love your wives. Now, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. What does Jesus think about? All day, all the time. If Jesus was confined by time, and he's not, what does he think about? He thinks about his bride all the time. He works, lives, breathes about the church and to please God his Father. Now, that he might what? Sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. That's why it's important that we know the word of God and follow that word of God. And he has developed a structure in which that happens, to sanctify and cleanse the church with the water of the word. If we stray from the word of God, we've got a mess on our hands. We cannot stray from that word of God. We must sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. That he might present it, look at this, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, set apart for God, and without blemish. Who is doing all of this? It says, Christ also loved the church. He's doing the loving and gave himself up that he might sanctify, and he is doing the washing, and he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle. So he's coming and he's washing us. This time that you go into this closet, he's going to be entering that closet with you. And he's going to be doing some washing. He's going to be doing some ironing out. He's going to be showing you what he needs from you to be able to work out these spots and wrinkles in your life. And are you going to listen? Are you going to heed? It's not the minister. It's not the pastor. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's Jesus that's going to come and bring some things to your life. To what? Make you holy and without blemish. This is something you need to welcome into your life. You need to heed the word of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, belonging in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are we changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what is this saying? It's saying what Jesus is doing, what God is doing, that when we look into this mirror, we are the glory of the Lord. And what we're seeing is that we are be changed from glory to glory. People are saying, you know, there are some that would say, you know, God is punishing, God is saying, you know, oh, you miserable people. God is wanting us to go from glory to glory. He's saying, this, what you're doing, you need to, if you need to shape up, God is not putting guilt on you. Guilt is not of God. Guilt is of the devil. Satan will accuse you to make you feel guilty. But God brings conviction. Now, conviction is gives you opportunity to repent. Now, repentance is of God. You go into that closet, he says, you know, you should have done this. It gives you opportunity to go from one glory to another glory. If a child figures out they've done something wrong and you correct them, do you go, oh, you stupid kid? No. You correct them, they heed your voice, and then they go on to be a mature adult. That's how God is showing us. We need to go into that place where God is showing us how to be a mature Christian. This is part of what's happening right now. Take that time. Take this moment. Make the best of this time to get with the Lord. There are some of us, I know economically, some of you may be having a hard time financially. Who is your provider? Is it your job or is it God? Get into your closet. Go to the Lord. Give him what you need. It says, pray and tell him your desires. Tell him what you need. James 4:8 again, I'm going to tell you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. This is how you get holy. This. Proverbs 4:8. I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. In Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. He says, the path of the just. We are the just. Not by my own righteousness, not by who I am that I've walked in the flesh. I am just because Jesus Christ has made me just. I have come under the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has made me just because I have been forgiven of all my sins. So the path of the just, the path of Arthur Rodriguez, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So my path is getting brighter and brighter. Now I want to read it out of the Amplified. But the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer, until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. Don't you want that? I want that so badly that as I walk this path in my life, I am getting brighter, I'm gaining more stature, I'm gaining more strength, I'm gaining a life in God that shines brighter and brighter and clearer and clearer, and I am knowing the will of God, I'm knowing what I'm supposed to do in life, and I know that as I'm walking through life, God's will is being done in my life. But not only that, I want to lead people into their own destiny in Christ, their destination in Christ. I want that in my life, to be a leader in that, in his kingdom, not just in this church, but wherever I am and whoever I touch. And I want you to be able to touch those people. Outside of these walls, be that in your community. Be that in who you touch and who you love and who you care for in your family. You want to be that. Isaiah 55, 6 through 8. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." He's telling them, look, I just want you to know, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. You need to recognize that. You need to know that. But he doesn't leave us there. He says, I'm going to show you a better way. And the better way is through Jesus Christ. That way is through Jesus. The Lord is easily entreated at this time. I'm telling you, you go in that closet, you go, you say, well, I've tried this before. I'm going to beg to differ with you. You haven't tried it where you have tried to break through and really tried to find him, because his word is a promise. He says, if you hunger and thirst for me, you will find me. You will find me. His word is true, and he is not a liar. He will be easily entreated at this time. Acts 4:13. The disciples, they were just walking around and going to see the city. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That is such a great verse. I want people to recognize that I have been with Jesus. Jesus, by Acts 4:13, he had already been crucified. He had already been laid in the tomb. He was already gone. He had already ascended into heaven. And Peter and John were walking around, and they looked at them and they said, hey, aren't those two guys, weren't they had been with Jesus? And they made a judgment about them. They're unlearned men. They're ignorant. How could they possibly have anything to say? But their qualifications were they had been with Jesus. Wow. Let me pull out my card. I've been with Jesus. Let me pull out my card. I've been with Jesus. I've been with the Lord. I've been in the closet. In Exodus 34:29-35, I'm not going to read it. It's kind of a lengthy time, but when Moses went up to the mountain and he grabbed the tablets, when God met Moses face to face, the glory of the Lord was there in front of Moses. And being in contact with God, Moses' face shone. And that's the way it describes it. The skin of his face shone. It means it glowed. It means he was different. And when he brought the tablets down, people were afraid. People looked at him and went, oh my gosh. And he had to put a veil over his face. And so as he talked to them, he had the veil over his face. But when he went back to talk to God, he took the veil off. And Wouldn't it be great if we were that way? Because I think that I think when we go into this closet, I think when God's people go into that secret place with God, I think when we come out, we can be different. We can become different. We can become that holy man of God, that holy woman of God. We can come out in 1 Samuel 10, 6 and 9. It said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and he turned into another man. Wow. Isn't that great? I want to turn into another man. I want to go into that secret place. And I want God to turn me into another man. In verse 9, it says, and when he turned his back from Samuel, God gave him another heart. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. Have you desired something from God? Have you asked him? There's no one that knows you better than yourself. Let me tell you, you sit with yourself all the time. You know the thoughts that go through your head all the time. Where do you need to be? Do you need to be looking at your TV? There's nothing but reruns. Hey, God saw to it that all those sports, there's no football, there's no new basketball, there's no Final Four, March Madness went down the tubes. Our sports idols, they're sitting at home just like you are. So understand, all those things that we thought we had to have, we don't have to have, do we? So go to your closet. Take this time to find strength in the Lord. Take this time to really seek him, seek his face, and see what comes out the other side. Put your trust in him in this time. Some of you are still going to get a paycheck. You know, he's made sure. He says, take no thought of what you're going to eat. Take no thought. He says, the lilies of the field, they don't take thought of what they're going to wear. Saul and all of Solomon in all of his splendor, the lilies of the field, they didn't dress themselves. The birds in the air, they don't feed themselves. How much more will he do for you? He loves you that much. He loves you. Let me tell you, God will take care of you. What he desires from you is that you desire him. And what will you do to gain him? I want to pray over you, and then Jimmy's going to come and wrap it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that there's a miracle that happens right now. I pray for healing for those who need a healing. I pray, God, that you would touch those people who have cancer. And I pray, God, that you would just touch right now whatever body part is cancerous. And I pray that you would make them whole. I pray, Father, that you would send, you would call people to their secret place. And that, Father, you would touch them. And that they would have that hunger. And that, Father, you would delight them. And that you would give them secret things that they've never seen before, never heard before. And, Father, you would just show them how much you do love them. And that, Father, that even though you say they are hungry and thirsty and you would fill them. And Father, let them have that thing that, oh, I'm addicted to God. I'm so addicted to Jesus that I want to come back for more. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices you've made for me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Arthur. I hope everyone watching has an appreciation for the pastor gift right now. There are times when the prophets required, the teachers required, and the apostle. Right now, the pastor is vital to bring a settling, a peace, a confidence, and I appreciate Arthur bringing his gift and doing what God would have him do with that right now. Very, very important. I saw some comments pop up. Appreciate you guys sending in your amens. And after I'm finished here, I'm going to put the slideshow back up for just a little while. For any of you who may be distant from us or even local who haven't done it, pay attention to the screen that tells you how to connect with our text and email system if you want to get notifications from us about what we're doing, because online is what we're going to be doing, at least for a little while longer. I pray it's short, but we'll do what's required. So I'll put that back up here in just a minute. Please, if you're not part of the FlockNote system already, get connected. We want to be able to contact you and hear from you. And we may be doing something midweek. We talked about doing something more of a Bible study. We've also discussed using Zoom just to have a get-together where we can talk to each other instead of just hear from this end. So watch for those notifications. Sure. Arthur said, you know, if there's anything that you desire, anything you would like to see happen, anything you need from us, from the church in general, please give us feedback. You know, you have our contact information, hopefully. It's all on the website, our phone numbers. You can text, call, whatever you want to do. And if you see one of our trucks up here, like has happened the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of people stop by and visit while I was here, and that's really important. It's healthy. It's enjoyable for me, and I hope for those who've stopped by and visited. So take every opportunity to exhibit the love of Christ, and we speak blessings on all of you. Amen. As we continue to walk through this together. We love you guys, and I'm going to turn that slideshow back on for a little while, and we will be in contact later.